Thank you, Cherie. Cherie and Donnie are our neighbors. They're some of the few that wave at us when they drive by. And I always enjoy watching Donnie go by early, early in the morning. He's usually on a 5-mile run. He's never invited me to go with him, nor has he ever stopped to wait on me to go put on my power shirt, my gym shorts. And I appreciate that so much. He's an excellent teacher. They're great parents. And she's a prayer warrior, Cherie is, and she really keeps up with the class, and she often texts Delane or me or Facebooks Delane to let us know when somebody in their class is hurting or in the hospital, and we're so thankful for that. Well, I invite you today to turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:19. We're going to turn to several different texts, but I want to talk about living a gold medal life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you're our glory and our joy. When the Olympics first began in ancient times, there were awards given to those who were the top finishers. It was usually an olive wreath or an olive limb that was shaped like a horseshoe. These olive limbs were broken off of wild olive trees. In 1896, at the Olympics, they began to share bronze and silver medals. It was not until 1904 in St. Louis, Missouri, did we begin to award the silver for second, gold for first, and bronze for third place. Then the committee, the IOC, went back all the way to 1896, and they began to award those who had won gold, silver, and bronze. There's six passages of Scripture that we find that talks about rewards that we may be presented in heaven for the way we lived our life here on this earth. Today, I want to encourage all of us to really strive in prayer, to take our prayer life to another level, to take our study and knowledge of the Word of God to greater heights, and to our sharing our faith with lost people, making that a daily practice. And what I'm asking is that we just raise to the level of a gold medal life in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, he said that there is that reward. And he talks about what that gold medal is. What is that thing God's going to give to me? And he said, it's a sense of satisfaction. He said, my gold medal is actually the people that I've won to Christ. And Paul says, not only did I win them to Christ, but he said, I've discipled them, I prayed for them, I have encouraged them. Paul is saying that my priority is winning and discipling people in the Lord. Look at what Jesus said about priorities in Matthew 6, 19. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. God is saying the priority of a spiritual champion. We who are trying to strive to live a gold medal life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to keep your eyes on the priority of investing your life in other people. He says, lay up your treasure, not on earth, but lay up your treasure in heaven. And the only thing that's going to heaven from this earth is going to be the souls of people. When Paul thought about people that he had led to Christ, he said, you're going to be my greatest joy, my greatest sense of accomplishment. You're going to be my greatest success. When you stand before the throne of God, are there going to be any people in heaven that you look around and recognize? And the Bible says we'll know each other even as we're known. Well, the people there that you know and recognize that they're in heaven because you shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ about the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, you shared with them the gospel. Usain Bolt was a great track and field man, and you'll remember back in 2008 when he ran in the Olympics. On 2008 in Beijing, he won the 100 millimeter with an astonishing world record time of 9.69. And it could have been faster, but he was winning the 100 meter just before he got to the line. He slowed down and just beat his chest a little while as he proudly went across the finish line. And then you'll remember at that same Olympics, he was in the 200 meter. And some said, you know, he might make a world record today. He might break Michael Johnson's record. And sure enough, in the 400 meter, he took off. He was running against a headwind with some of his competitors there, and he finished at 19.30 seconds. He won two golds and set two world records in the same Olympics. And you think about, man, that training that he went through was so rigorous. Do you know what he did to train for those races? He ate chicken nuggets and took naps. That's how he prepared to run. But you know, we were so excited about him because coming up into 2008, there were so many athletes that were doping and taking drugs in order to win. It was great that this guy was full of chicken nuggets and naps as he crossed the line. We think about Pleasant Valley South. I've been here long enough to have known some real spiritual champions who have gone to heaven. I was talking to one of our young fathers in our church last week. He's probably about 40-ish. And he started calling out names of people that God had taken to heaven that had influenced him and had taught him when he was growing up as a middle schooler and a high schooler and as a college student and as a young adult. And on the phone, he told me, he said, it is our call and our duty to carry on a gold medal life, to carry on the work of the spiritual champions that went before us in this church. Now notice, first of all, the importance of precedence in our life. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Why are priorities so important? Well, number one, you want to write this down. Priorities cause stress. That's why they are so important. They tell us that stress in the baby boomer generation is greater than any other generation that's ever lived. The baby boomers are taking more pills and narcotics to try to cope with life. Some are suffering from emotional illness. More people trying to understand how to manage their stress than any other time in America's history. Well, what is the source of our stress? It's not because we don't have the money. It's not because we don't have enough time. George Barna did a survey, and here's what he said the cause of stress is. He said it's the gap between what we say is our priority and what we actually do in our life. So you want to begin right here at the foundation. Is God first in my life? The first thing you want to do in the morning, do you want to get along with God? How is your prayer life? You say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Are you involved in a local church? Is God first in your finances? Are you a tither? Are you a soul winner? And you see, what causes that stress, even in our spiritual life, if we say we're this and we're actually down here doing this? You know, we're terrible. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm just going to get healthier. And I feel great. All my labs are good. The doctor one day was testing my knees with a hammer. And, you know, my leg kept flying up every time. And I thought, you're going to bust my kneecap if you don't stop doing that. And he had a straight leg, a stiff leg, and he looked at me and he said, I'd love to have your knees. I never had anybody tell me they'd love to have my knees. And he said, do you ever have any pain with your knees? Do they ever freeze up? I said, No, man. I said, you know why? He said, no. I said, because I haven't been running on the treadmill for 20 years like you told me to. I've been saving my knees for later in life. And here you are just hobbling around because you're on a treadmill every day. I was his favorite patient. Stress is because we realize that what we say is a priority, but it's not actually what we do. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. Some people approach stress as if there's a simple pill for the cure. I don't know about you. I used to love to hear Adrian Rogers. Wasn't he a wonderful, powerful preacher? He told the story about a gentleman who was getting a little age on him, and he was just totally worn out. So he went to see the doctor. The doctor examined him, and he said, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. You just burning the candle at both ends. And the man said, I didn't come to get a lecture. I come to get more wax. That's what I need if I'm burning the candle at both ends. Now, notice the secret to success. You got the source of stress. You got your priorities and what you actually do. But the secret to success, you see, the Bible says above all else, he says, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. A successful person is a person who lives up to the priorities he has chosen for his life. That's what success is. It's not a certain level of money. It's not a certain level of prestige. It is living up to your priorities, and they need to be, listen, they need to be Christ and Bible based. A novelist one time said this. He said, a ship does not sail with yesterday's winds. We've got to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, allow Him to form our priorities and give us the strength, the energy, and the wisdom to carry them out. Notice this, sifting your salvation is something else you need to do. If you don't have the right priority today, maybe you've never been saved. You're not a child of God. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? I continue to talk to people time after time after time who say, I belong to Jesus, but the church is not for me. Well, as I read the Bible, it sounds like Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our salvation, and the church is the only organization he set up. And as I shared with you last Sunday, in America, on any given Sunday, only 27% of our population bothers to go to a house of worship. You'd better look for the vital signs that you really belong to Jesus. I was reading the other day about Kintsugi. That's a Japanese art form. And what they do is, if a piece of pottery is cracked, they don't do what we do. I go get some super glue. And especially if Delaine's not home and I broke her favorite pot, I want to get that thing back together and sealed. And how do I want it to look? Like my painter says, it never happened. That's the way you want it to look. Even if it means turning it around with that cracked end facing the wall, you want it to look good. Well, what they do with this art form, the Japanese, mix gold with glue. Doesn't matter the color of the pot. And what they do is they glue it back together, and they want the place that was cracked to show. And it glitters with that gold mixed in the glue. In other words, it accentuates the crack. And what Jesus did to restore our brokenness with God, and he doesn't hide our sin, but it accentuates the way we've been remade by his work, which results in us being infinitely more valuable than we were before we were broken. Notice the ingredients of your precedence or priorities. 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. He says some things are temporal in 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, come not from the Father, but from the world. So the first thing I want you to write down, some people live for pleasure. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says that we ought to enjoy pleasure. Some people are caught up in a should, ought, and should, ought, must Christianity. We live under grace. We live under God's love, but it's not a license to sin. The number one business in America right now is entertainment. Now, entertainment not only includes what you see on your electronic devices or shows and plays, but also includes the arena of sports. The Bible tells you how to experience pleasure, how to have pleasure. God wants His people to be happy people, but if you live for pleasure, it's not going to last. If you live by it feels good, do it. It's not going to last. So the number one thing here, I'm going to do with my time and my money what makes me happy and what makes me important. That's not going to lead to happiness. Somebody said, get all you can all you can, sit on the can, and poison the rest. That's no way to live. Second thing I want you to write down is this: possessions. People's priorities today are sometimes possession. The Bible says, beware, don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are not related to how rich you are. I've known people who've had very little in this world, and they were rich. I've known people that were very wealthy, and they were actually poor. It's not a matter of how much money you have or you don't have, or what those circumstances in life are. The Bible says that possessions do not bring contentment. Your self-worth is not based on your net worth. I was seated at my desk a few days ago, and of course my phone rang, and I looked down and it said, New York. Well, I don't know anybody in New York, so I didn't answer the phone. Well, they left a message. So later on in the day, I checked the message. Here was the message, because you need to listen to this, because you might get this message too. This is Publishers Clearinghouse. You have won second prize. Just second. They said you have won $47 million. A Mercedes SUV and $7,000 spending money. Here is your code. Please call us and turn in the code. So I went home later that day and I said, Delaine, guess what? And you know what she asked me? Did you call back? I said, no, darling, I didn't call back. It's a scam. Well, how do you know it's a scam? I said, well, I know it's a scam. She said, well, what would you do with $47 million? I said, well, 40% of it would go to the government. I said, well, we're going to tithe on the whole amount in case this is real. And I said, we're going to pay off the debt at the church. Amen. Wouldn't you do that? And I said, there's some children's homes we need to take care of too. And so other things I would just like to do. I'd be bankrupt before you knew it. She said, well, please, won't you just call that back and use the code? I said, darling, listen to me. Now write this down, everybody. I don't want you to miss out on your $47 million. Publishers Clearinghouse will never call your house when you win. Did you hear that? They never call your house. What you're looking for is the van. Delaine, you ought to be home right now looking for the van. You never get a notification. They show up in the van because that's what makes it so special. And then they can publish that on their commercials when they see the surprise on your face. Ladies and gentlemen, don't live just for possessions. And then prestige. The priority of people today is prestige. Look at what the psalmist said. Though a man calls himself happy all through his life, and though the world loudly applauds his success, yet in the end he dies like everybody else and enters eternal darkness. Newsweek magazine, I don't subscribe to it, but they have a page every week that's called Transitions. What is that? Well, if you look on the local website or an old newspaper, that is called obituaries. Now, there's a difference in Newsweek magazine's transitions and our obituaries. More than likely, when you read about transitions, That's going to be people that you've heard of that are world famous. But when you read the local obituaries, you're going to see a few people you know that have transitioned. But you're going to see a whole lot of people that you don't know. Every day, Monday through Friday, in the middle of town, there is a pauper's cemetery. People who have been found dead, they may be homeless. We don't even know their identification. Your tax money buries them. They're nameless to everybody. In fact, there is not even an obituary in the local paper or online. Somebody said when man invented the mirror, he lost his soul because it began to be more important. He was more impressed with his image than he was with his character. That's what people are impressed with today. They're more concerned about their image. Delaney and I knew a senator from the other side of the state who served in Washington. He was a friend of her father, had been for many years. He had it all, the vacation houses everywhere, big penthouse in Augusta down at Hilton Head. I remember he had his boatmaster to take us out on his yacht, hardwood floors, the most expensive oriental carpets, antique furniture. He got caught in white collar crime and lost everything he had and was sentenced to prison. Be careful, because listen, living a gold medal life is not, listen, the priority there is not who you are or who you think you are, or the prestige you think you carry because of the profession you hold. And then notice the intensity of your precedence. So notice the strength of my priorities. Go back to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You've got pleasure, you got possessions, you got prestige, but God will give it to you if you put him first. So what we've got to do to figure out what ought to be first is let's study that which is vital. Notice what Job said in Job chapter 34, verse 4. He said, "Let us choose for ourselves what is right. Let us understand among ourselves what is good." We ask the question, will pleasure last? Will possessions last? Paul said, we brought nothing into the world. We'll take nothing out of it. Some twin brothers who bought a funeral home when I lived in Warrenton, Georgia. Keith and Kevin Beggs. They're about my size and identical twins. And a lot of people said I look like their older brother. We're all about the same size. And they called me from the funeral home one day. They're originally from Lincolnton, Georgia. Now, they call it Lincoln, but they were from Lincolnton, Georgia. And they called me one day and said, "Dr. May, we know that you like to wear nice suits." I said, "Yeah." They said, "Well, look, we buy all of our suits out of the back end of a van." And said, "We've got a friend that cuts us deals on them." He said, "Now, it's the same suits we put on our dead bodies, but," said, "we wear them here at the funeral home," and said, "come on over, we can give you a deal." Well, I don't mind telling you, I never did go for that appointment. I was very slim, and I didn't think they had a 29 waist in there. And so I just let the Beggs boys, I let them buy those suits. You know, sometimes a suit that you get from a funeral home, sometimes it might be that it doesn't have a back in it. Sometimes, not all the time. That depends on who you're dealing with. If you go first class and get the whole wrap, I want to be buried with my socks and shoes on. And then, I don't know why. But anyway, another thing you'll find at some funeral homes, maybe you want to buy a suit for the deceased because they didn't own one. Or they've been so sick, the one they had doesn't fit. And so you'll notice something about that suit. Now you notice I got flaps right here. But those suits most of the time have fake pockets. Did you know that? You know why? Because we ain't taking nothing with us. Isn't that right? So it might as well be fake pockets. But what about prestige? The Bible says the world and its desires are going to pass away. I remember Delaney and I were in seminary. We got tickets to go see a preseason game of the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. And guess who had signed with the San Francisco 49ers? O.J. Simpson. We were so excited. But I'll never forget when we were there, his team was standing over here. And he stood way over here by himself. He didn't even fraternize with his team members. We just wanted to see him run the ball one time. He went from hero to zero. How many politicians have you seen that happen to? How many Hollywood stars have you seen go from hero to zero? And of late, with the Southern Baptist scandal, it just wrenches my heart because we've had some preachers who have been mighty men of God, and now, because of sex scandals, they've gone from hero to zero. Prestige will not last. The Bible says the world and its desires will pass away, but he who does the will of God will live forever. You know, forever is going to be a long time. I read the other day a story about eternity. Now, imagine a sparrow, and he starts out at the Pacific Ocean on the West Coast, and he gets him one beak of water, and he flies all the way across the nation to the Atlantic Ocean and spits it up in the Atlantic Ocean. And he flies all the way back to the Pacific Ocean, he gets him a beak full of water, and he flies all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, and he spits it out. When he has totally emptied the Pacific Ocean into the Atlantic Ocean, eternity will have just begun. Think about it. The Bible says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Don't conform to the standards of this world. Paul said everything else is worthless compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ my Lord. Contentment seems dissatisfying for a culture that we have now that is just absolutely enamored by seeing something exciting. On 4th of July, we were with Delaney's cousin, first cousin, who's a lawyer over in Buckhead, and his wife, and they'd been out to the Grand Canyon. And they said it was amazing to them how many times the park ranger had to get people from standing at the very edge of the Grand Canyon to try to get a picture. And what do you hear every now and then? They slipped, and fell. And they said it's over 1 mile to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I was reading the other day about this old boy last year. His name is Trevor Jacob. Trevor was an Olympic snowboarder. He also owned his own private plane. The day before Thanksgiving last year, for a sensational day, he put cameras on the inside and the outside of his plane. Then he took off for a flight. And then he jumped from his plane with a selfie stick and a parachute. His plane was descending, so with that parachute, he tried to follow it as close as he could, videoing his plane going down. The plane crashed. He parachuted near the plane crash and held out his little selfie thing out there and filmed the plane burning to rubble. Then he had several miles he had to walk through the woods to get to civilization, so he had something like a GoPro there. So he videoed his journey from the woods and talked about some of the strange people he met on the way back to civilization. The FAA interviewed him, and they said, what happened? He said, my engine stalled. Well, the truth of the matter is, he's one of these tuber guys who likes to put exciting things on YouTube. He had 3 million views by the time the FAA interviewed him. He's trying to ramp up his energy and just draw attention to himself. He was willing to risk his life and crash his personal aircraft so 3 million people could watch him on YouTube. That's the kind of guy that you want to marry your daughter, is it not? To be the father of your grandchildren, the person who is working for you in your employ. Listen carefully. That's the way it is in many of our churches. I was reading something that J.I. Packer wrote the other day. You know, you go to some churches, and they got to paint all the ceilings black. Then they got to have the strobe lights. And the pastor speaks while the fog machine is putting out a mist. See, what we're doing is trying to gin up excitement. Be the cool church to attend. And what we really need is the work of the Holy Spirit that generates love, joy, peace, patience, and convicts people of the need of a Savior, and convicts us of a need to live a gold medal life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Listen, these are the only things that last forever. He says faith. You got a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't last for a year. It doesn't have an expiration date like a loaf of bread. He says it lasts forever. And then hope. The hope, the assurance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it don't last a month or 50 years. It lasts forever. And then he says love. Lasts forever. If you have the love of God in your heart, the love of God lasts in us forever and ever. What's the greatest thing you can do for another person? It's to love that person. And what's the greatest way you can love that person? That's invest your time, your talents, your treasure into their eternity. A great preacher once said the greatest thing one individual could do for another individual is lead that other person to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You remember Derek Redman in the 400 millimeter in Barcelona back in 1992. He thought he had put his nightmares and his injuries behind him. Some of the common Terry about him was that he might be able to place for maybe a bronze medal in the 400 millimeter. He had rehabbed so many times. He'd been so frustrated, but he never quit. He got out on the track at the Olympics there with 7 other competitors. And after they finished 100 meters, he was in pretty good shape. Then all of a sudden, he heard something that sounded like a gunshot. And he really thought he had been shot. What it was, his hamstring had popped half in two. He fell face down on the track. He was on his knees. He had his head in his hands. The other 7 competitors moved further out of sight. He took his hands and got himself back on his feet, and he began to keep limping on the track. Until finally it turned to a little hop. Then he fell again. His dad jumped out of the stands and the officials tried to stop him. And he just said, "Get out of my way. I'm going to my son." And he put his arms around his son and said, "You don't have to do this. You don't have to finish." He said, "Dad, we got to finish." So his dad put his arms around his son's shoulders. And they went all the way around to finish up at the line for the 400 meters. The color analyst that day said this. He said, "Now in the arena, in this sport, Derek Redman is getting the greatest cheers of the entire Olympic Games." ladies and gentlemen, it's always too soon to quit. God is not looking for professors, professing Christians. He's looking for practicing Christians. The question is, will you live a gold medal life for Christ? Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Very, very simple message today, but a huge, serious reminder. In the world in which we live, we need to be standing for you. We need to lead living Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered lives so that we might have an impact and we might be a reflection of you to other people. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers here. And I pray that we would take this matter of serving you very seriously. It's something that we ought to be willing to sacrificially serve you, even when it's inconvenient to us. You put opportunities that we stumble over many times, and there are people who are lost and need to know you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, know that Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, shed his blood willingly to pay the price for your salvation and mine. It's free. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Would you make that decision today? Some of you have already made that decision. You need to make it public. Be a candidate for baptism and church membership. You come. Some of you are our guest, and you've been our guest for a while, and you've prayed about it. God's convicted you. Pleasant Valley South is a place to plant your spiritual gifts in a gold medal lifestyle, living for him. We just ask you to come. Lord, this is the most important time in this service when you're doing business in the hearts and the minds of all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Donnie's coming forward with the praise band over in the Family Life Center. Up here I'll have Ted with me. If you're comfortable coming forward today with a decision you need to make public, we ask you to come. If not, if you'll see us at the Connect table in the Family Life Center after the service, or at the information table out in the Welcome Center, we'll meet with you, we'll take you to our office, pray with you, help lead you to Christ, whatever it might be. Some of you, because of COVID, are still uncomfortable coming forward. I understand that. But if you feel like you need to make a public decision today, you need to come to the altar to pray, I ask that you do so. If you're watching us on your electronic device, please call us at 706-234-1841 and leave a message. One of our staff members will get back to you as soon as possible. Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.